Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. If you are visiting with us this morning, we'd love to hear from you. There's probably a card underneath the seat in front of you, unless someone's already used it and we haven't replaced it. But look around. You can fill it out electronically or by pen or pencil. If you do it by pen or pencil, drop it in the box in the back. That's also where we take offerings for the church. So on this Mother's Day, if you have forgotten to contact your mom, it's not too late. Technology is very convenient. You just take your phone, like this one here, and just text her and say, "Mom, I love you. Happy Mother's Day." It will ding in her purse at church this morning. And then your dad will say, "Who is that?" And she'll say, "Your son." And so electronics is often very convenient. I read the scripture off my phone because I can see it. Otherwise, I have to wear glasses. But I'm fearful one day I'm going to get up here and my electronics are going to fail me, because before my little Bible app crashed and I couldn't open it back up again until I restarted the phone. So if that happens up here on Sunday morning, I'm just going to say, look at the scripture behind me, read it yourself, let's pray. But not this morning. This is Mother's Day, so we are going to read the scripture. And it is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And yes, you can read it behind me as well. So it says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for moms, our wives, women who grow up to be a mighty influence in this world. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to use them for your glory. And we say this in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Well, go ahead and open your Bibles, if you aren't already there, to 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are here. We're going to take a look at a Mother's Day passage. This is a day for moms to celebrate and for families to celebrate about their mother. And so I'm going to bring a message this morning to bring you down off of that high horse and tell you about all the things you aren't doing as a mother. Not my purpose. We're going to look at what you are doing and why moms are important. So what Peter's telling us here in this passage is he's talking about the true beauty of a mother. The true beauty of a woman is what he's really talking about. He says in verses 3 and 4, "Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of the arranging of hair." And the way that passage is written is, don't let that be the only thing that identifies you. Woman is not identified strictly by the external. It says the arranging of the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Not only that, but neither is this passage telling you you shouldn't do that. Some people will use this passage and say a woman shouldn't wear jewelry, shouldn't fix herself up. That's just a part of being a woman. What he's saying is, don't let that be the single focus of your life. Many people make that the center focus of a life. He said there's something more important than that. And what is more important than the external appearance of a woman? He says, verse 4, "Let it be the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." So what I wanted to look at this morning was the qualities of a godly mother. What are some of the qualities? Now, this list is not exhaustive. I've put on this list, I've got basically three qualities. But when we talk about the qualities of a godly mother, what we're talking about is the character of a mother. What character should a mother have? Or what character should a woman have? But because it's Mother's Day, we're going to relate it to mom. So we're going to take a look at that. We're going to have to look at a lot of different scriptures to see it. But we're going to look at three critical qualities for a mother. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a look at our passage. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our mothers and what a blessing they are to our life. We pray, Lord, for this time of study, that you would open our minds and hearts to your truth, that you would communicate to us an understanding of the passage before us. Help me to explain it clearly and accurately, and then, Lord, that your people would receive it with grace and apply it to our lives, we do pray. So, Father, I ask this and I pray this and ask for your will to be done. In Christ Jesus' name, Lord, amen. We look at this, and as I list three qualities, these qualities are not in order, okay? But the first one, I think, kind of is. The first one is very important. And the first quality of a godly mother is a good fear of the Lord. All right? And that's the one I use, a good fear of the Lord. Passage of Scripture, Psalm 111, verse 10. So if you'd like to read, or they'll put it up on the board behind me. Psalm 111, verse 10. And in Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." Now, many times when you speak of the fear of the Lord, many people are confused by what that means. Am I supposed to be afraid of God? Is God supposed to be terrifying to me? Because a lot of people, when you think of fear of God, they think of the wrath of God or the judgment of God, if you will. Is God going to kill me? Things like that. And many times people have an understanding of God as some vengeful person that is seeking to destroy us. And that's not the image of God that Scripture presents. Our God is a God of graciousness and loving kindness and gentleness with his people. Yes, God is a God of wrath. God does judge. But God has made provision for his people. And that provision is found in the person of Christ. And our judgment is put upon Christ. And we don't suffer that judgment from God. So a fear of the Lord does not mean to run around afraid of God. What a fear of God means, it means to know who God is and to understand what he has done. A fear of God is built upon those two basic understandings, a knowledge of who he is and an understanding of what he has done, a clear picture of God. And when we get that clear picture in our mind and we understand it, we will have fear. And the idea of the fear of the Lord as listed in Scripture is a respect for God. And so the way you would see that in a person's life is a person that fears God, respects God, and understands, because they have a knowledge of God, they understand where they stand in relationship to God. See, much of people's thought in the world today is that we are the center and God is here to serve us. The reality of Scripture is God is here. We are the creation of his hand, and our responsibility is to serve God. So a healthy fear of God is God has created me in his image and likeness. And if I'm going to be all that God wants me to be, then I will obey and keep the commandments that God has. I will serve God and live before God with respect and honor for who he is. That is a bedrock of life. If we prioritize God in our life, then the rest of the details of life will fall into line. But when we fail to put God first in our life, then it doesn't matter really what you do in life. Nothing is really going to work right, because if God is not first and foremost, usually what is substituted in place of that is ourself. So a woman that fears God is a woman that has respect for God and understands where they stand in relationship to God. And that's what we talk about when we talk about the fear of God. Turn to Psalm 147. I think we get another picture of it right there. Psalm 147, And we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. Psalm 147, verse 10 and 11. David, writing the psalm, says, "He," speaking of God, "does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man." What is that telling us right there? Well, David was a warrior king. And one of David's jobs, living in a theocracy and being the king of that, was to lead men into battle and to conduct war on behalf of God against all that opposed God and all that was ungodly. And David is speaking from the perspective of a king. And when he would get around his generals, perhaps, or high-ranking men in his military, there were two primary concerns that they had. Number one, what's the condition of our horses? Because the horses were used in battle for fleet movement and to cover a great distance in a short amount of time. And so you wanted horses that had a lot of stamina. You wanted horses that were strength or that were strong, and horses that when you got to the objective, you could execute the mission at hand. You wanted good horses. Secondly, you wanted an infantry that had strong legs, because the infantry has to move on their feet. And if the men were not in condition and their legs were not strong, when they got to the battlefield and engaged the enemy, they'd be fatigued and out of strength. So they would ask two things. What's the condition of our horses? What's the condition of the men? Are the horses strong? Are the men's legs in good shape? And the idea behind that was, we've got the tools necessary to win this battle. That is how man looks at the world around him. The next verse, he says this, verse 11, "The Lord takes pleasures in those who fear him and in those who hope in his mercy." What he's drawing there is a contrast. The things that are important to people are not important to God. What's important to God is, where do you put God in your life? You can have every physical thing necessary for victory, as David speaks about here. But if you don't have the fear of God, it doesn't matter how much physical strength you have, victory's not going to be yours. That's what he's drawing in that psalm. So when we talk about a fear of God, we're talking about people that prioritize God in their life. And one of the traits of a godly mother is to prioritize their relationship with God. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs, now what Proverbs is a collection of wisdom. Proverbs is one of the unique books of the Bible that doesn't really follow a general theme other than it's presenting a collection of wise sayings. Some areas of Proverbs do, for example, Proverbs 8 today, I read a proverb a day. Whatever day of the month it is, that's the proverb I read. Today's the 8th of May, so I read Proverbs 8 this morning. Proverbs 8 is personifying wisdom. He's giving human characteristics to wisdom. And that chapter 8 is to contrast what he says in chapter 7. Chapter 7, he talks about an adulterous woman or a loose woman, a prostitute, something of that sort. He talks about how she is, and then he contrasts it with wisdom. And he speaks of wisdom as a female, okay? So he's contrasting two. But the bulk of Proverbs is simply a collection of wisdom. It tells you how to choose friends, how to choose partners in life. If you're looking for a husband or wife, follow what it says in Proverbs about the quality of a good friend, because your partner in life should be your friend. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." A fool is someone that lives their life independent of God. And so he says in this passage of Scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What that tells us is this: a healthy understanding of God and an understanding of what God has done forms the basis for everything else you do in life. So when we talk about a quality of a godly mother, we're talking about someone that fears God, Someone that holds God in a high and exalted place. A person that reveres God and glorifies God. And that is the role of a godly mother. Because, see, children learn about God as you teach them out of Scripture, but children learn more about God when they observe the conduct of their mother or the conduct of their father. But today is Mother's Day, so they're on the plate this morning. But when they observe their mother, when they watch that mother, you want to live your life with a fear of God. And so how do you as a mother live a life that demonstrates the fear of God? You show respect toward God, and you walk in faithfulness towards God. That's how you demonstrate that. You put that as the number one priority in your life, the fear of God. So it's not running around cowering down, afraid that God's going to do something. Don't do that or God's going to get you, that kind of a thing. It's that I live with love and respect for God because God loves me. I'm not going to do anything in my life that would dishonor God. I'm not going to do anything in my life that would bring shame to God. And so a godly mother lives her life in that way. The second trait of a godly mother would be a mother or a woman that is trustworthy. Trustworthy. Another word for trustworthy that you could use would be integrity. Integrity means to be whole or solid. All right? And a woman that has integrity means that she is a woman that can be counted on. She is a woman or a mother, if you will, that can be trusted. She is a woman of her word, okay? That when mom says something, mom's going to follow through with it. A trustworthy mother is one that demonstrates integrity to her children. And why is that important? It's important because we need to understand something else. What we do with our children is to be a reflection of our relationship with God. And so we know that God is trustworthy. We know that we can count on God. And we know that God is going to stay with us even when we fail or when we struggle in life. And a trustworthy mom is a mom that stays faithful to her children in spite of what her children do. Your mother can always be counted on to hold on to you even when you fail. And that's one of the responsibilities of a mother, is to help children realize that failure is not final, that everyone's going to fail in life. But what's more important is that you get up from that failure and you do better when you get up from it. Because failure is an opportunity to learn. And we're all sinful, so we're all going to fail at some time. And while I'm on this, let me address this subject too. A lot of people say, well, my mom wasn't trustworthy, or my mom didn't live for the Lord. Well, I counseled a person one time, and they said, my mother did this to me one time when I was little, and ever since then I hadn't liked her. You got to be gracious in the way you deal with people. Understand this, moms are not infallible, all right? Moms do fail. Moms say things and moms do things that are not right and proper. But what you've got to understand this is the general thrust of a person's life needs to be in the direction, a godly person needs to be in the direction of fearing God and being trustworthy, okay? We tend to look at life by taking snapshots of life and trying to say, this incident right here or this incident right here. Don't view life like that. View life as a motion picture. You can take a motion picture and break it down frame by frame, and some of those frames look pretty bad. But when you do the overall flow of life, what you want to see is this person fears God. This person trusts God. Who's writing these passages of Scripture? Solomon is writing them. Who's writing those passages in the Psalms that we looked at? David is writing them. Was Solomon a man that was without fault or failure? No. Was David a man that was without fault or failure? No. But just take the life of David, for example. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. But I can show you snapshots in David's life where you would say David is a failure. I promise you this much. David could never pastor a church in our day and time. I'll tell you that. With the stuff that he pulled off in his life. And yet God used him as his servant. You know why? Though he failed in life, his overall thrust was for God. David was a, contrary to what a lot of people think, a lot of people think of Bible characters as semi-glowing figures with halos over them. Most of them were rotten and corrupt people that were saved by God's grace. You hear that? Y'all didn't pick that heresy up, did you? Let me repeat that. People in the Bible, most of them were rotten and corrupt people saved by God's grace. That's heresy. All of them were. That's truth. Every person, every character in the Bible is a flawed, sinful, corrupt person saved by God's grace. And every one of those people, save the person of Jesus Christ that's written about in the Bible, at some place, sometime in our life, failed. And if you looked at David's life as singular pictures, you would see his incident with Bathsheba, and you say, David is a rotten adulterer. He's a marriage breaker. Well, David does even worse than that. He takes the husband of the woman he cheated with and impregnated and arranged for him to be killed in battle. David was a warrior king, was responsible for the deaths of thousands of people on the battlefield. And people look at something like that and say, how could that guy be a man after God's own heart? Because it's the general thrust and flow of his life. You could say the same thing about Solomon and some of the antics that he did. And Solomon went through a long period of his life where he lived apart from God. But at the end of his life, you know what he says? This is the summation of life right here, folks. To fear God and keep his commandments. He speaks back on his life from the voice of experience. And so to be a godly mother, you need to be a mother that fears God, and you've got to be a mother that's trustworthy. You want the general thrust of your life to be a person that can be counted on, a person that can be dependent on. Look at Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 says this. Proverbs 11, 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. In other words, what he's saying in that passage, a person that is a trustworthy person doesn't go around and talk about the bad things in a person's life. They conceal that and deal with that person in an individual manner. That's how they deal with it. And I'm glad that moms, to a great extent, are like that, because my mom would catch me doing stuff a lot of times, and the words out of her mouth was, and I hated when I heard this statement, she said, I'm going to tell your dad when he gets home. And so my response to mom was, Mom, a talebearer reveals secrets. No, I didn't do that. But that'd been a good verse to use, wouldn't it? But he who is of a faithful spirit, Mom, they conceal a matter. Now, there was times my moms would conceal the matter. But it was often after I was on bended knee begging that she wouldn't tell Dad. Because I knew when Dad got home, Mom was kind of grace, Dad was kind of law, and I lived in that dichotomy of life. My dad was straight by the numbers. I mean, just straightforward. Whereas my mom, she would tend to let things go. Now, I don't know if it's because she forgot, because I did worse things later in the day or something, but a lot of times I got away from it. And my mom would be trustworthy. She'd say, okay, I won't tell your dad. And then she would usually extract some kind of payment from me. Go out there and clean the garage up, and you'll be fine. All right? That's a lot of times how life is. Mothers got to be trustworthy. They're dependable. Because the thing is, as a mother, even when you fail or fall, Mom was there to lift you back up. And that's a good quality of a mother, is to be trustworthy. Someone that's dependable. Someone that we can count on. The third trait is this. Mothers care for others. All right? Mothers have a caring heart. Caring for others is a very important trait. There's a word in the Greek language that is a Greek word, stergo. S T T-E-R-G-O. And that word means to have natural affection. And mothers have a natural affection for their children. The word stergo is not used in the Bible, but the word ostergo is used. And ostergo is the same word, it means natural affection, but it has an A in front of it, and it means without natural affection. And it's used when Paul's writing, he talks about the last days or the end times. He says people will be without natural affection, okay? Because one of the traits of a mother is they have a natural affection for their children. They care for their children. When you think of all that a mom has to do in bringing up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there's so many things. The little video before the service showed a lot of it. Just point after point after point. Mothers have to be caring for their family. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2 speaks of this. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This is one of those verses that's assuming the first part to be true, okay? It's not an exhortation to look out for yourself because the Bible's assuming that's what you do. What he's saying is, don't make that the only focus in your life, but also for the interest of others. Ephesians, just go back to the left from there, go to Ephesians 4:32. Says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. That's a caring mother. A caring mother is a mother that's forgiving, a mother that is kind-hearted, a mother that cares for her children. And in the last verse I want to look at is in 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. And 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says this, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. And what's that passage telling us? That when you have the ability to care or help other people, you need to do it. To have a caring heart. That is a trait of a godly mother, to care for other people. So you take those three qualities of a mother. They fear God, they're trustworthy or dependable, and they care for their family. I think those three points sum up the role of a mother probably better than anything else. But also what you can look at in this passage of Scripture is that every one of those traits and characteristics not only applies to a mother, but it applies to every one of us in here. See, it's Mother's Day, and so I'm focusing upon the subject of mothers. But you note that every one of those traits and characteristics in Scripture is applicable to anybody that has a relationship with God. So we should all be people that fear God. We should all be people that are trustworthy or have integrity in our life. And we should all be people that care for one another. That's what's important about the passage today, is are we applying this ourselves to our lives, because that's what God expects of us. If you have a godly mother, thank the Lord for her. Be grateful to the Lord for her. I was reminded this morning that my mother died a year ago today. And last year, this day was the day before Mother's Day. And so my mom, this is my first Mother's Day, or my second Mother's Day without my mom being here, but it's a full year since she passed away. Be happy if you have a godly mother, a mother that guides you in your life and blesses your life. And let her know that, because moms are just like all parents. You tend to, in your own mind, think, boy, I could have done a better job. And you know what? We could have. I could have done a lot better job if I hadn't been a sinful person. If God would have allowed me to be a sin-free being, I could have been the best dad in the world. But the idea is this. When you do fail, when you do fall short, understand this, God's grace is there for you. And you need to understand that. And we need to understand that towards our mother. So if you hadn't got word to your mother today, let her know that you appreciate her and that you love her. And that you're grateful to her for what she's done. Because she brought you along in life and she shaped and molded your life. regardless of what kind of a mother she was, she's had a positive influence in you. And folks, I deal with people all the time that don't have godly mothers. And I can tell you what the damaging effect of that can be on a life. So if you have a godly mother, rejoice and thank God this morning that you do, and let her know it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings in our life through our mothers, for their care and concern for us, their sacrifice that they make out of their schedules every day to tend to our needs, just to listen to our questions and answer our questions, Lord, and for all the things that they've done for us. Let us show and demonstrate our love to our mothers that are alive. And Lord, for those mothers here in this church, let us support them in the job that they have. Lord, we pray that we'd have godly mothers so that the next generation can know you better. We pray and ask this of you in Christ's name. Amen.